Welcome back. We are in Esther chapter 7. We are flying through Esther. Esther chapter 7, let's go. So what we've got is this second banquet is coming up. Queen Esther invited her husband, the king, King Xerxes, and the right-hand man, Haman. And Haman is trying to extinguish all of the Jewish people throughout Persia, including the queen, including Mordecai, and all the rest of the Jews. And the queen risked her life to go to the king's court and invite him to this banquet. And normally she would have been killed for doing so, but he found favor in her and did not kill her, granted her privilege, and now they're having this second banquet. During the night in chapter 6, God worked perfect events so that King Xerxes, King Ahasuerus, had insomnia, couldn't sleep, had this boring book read to him, realized that Mordecai was the one who helped save his life about 5 years ago from two eunuchs. And so now Mordecai has favor in his eyes. And here we go into the second banquet. Chapter 7, verse 1 of Esther. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request up to half the kingdom? It shall be done." This is his way of saying, anything within a reason, a reasonable request, I will grant to you. So just come on, bring it. I can imagine the anticipation. My wife or my kids will come to me sometimes. My son does it all the time with his grades. He's like, "Dad, guess what I got on my history test?" And I'll say, start making stuff up. 82. Nope. 79. No, Dad. Other direction. 86. Nope. 89. And we just go to this dealer. Jen will come and try to tell me something, and I'm like, "Come on, what's the anticipation? Just tell me." And so I can feel this going on with the king. He's like, "Well, what's going on? The second banquet. You've already asked me for something. You won't tell me what it is. Let's go." So verse 3, then Queen Esther answered and said, "If I had found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given at my petition and my people at my request. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy can never compensate for the king's loss." So what's she saying? She's saying, Haman, had you passed this decree to kill all of my people, yes, I'm Jewish. You didn't know this until just now, but here's the big bomb drop. Me and Mordecai are Jewish. Your right-hand man, Haman, is ticked off at Mordecai, so he decided to have all of the Jews killed. He tricked you into doing this. You agreed to it. You were drunk, just like you were drunk when you had the bad decision with Queen Vashti. You were drunk when you did this. Now, this is kind of what's going on in the heads, not necessarily being said. And so he's got to come face-to-face with, "Oh, man, I made another mistake. I screwed up with Queen Vashti when I was drunk. I screwed up with the Jewish people, having sent out a decree to annihilate them when I was drunk." Oh boy, so here we go. Verse 5, so King Ahasuerus, that's King Xerxes, answered and said to Queen Esther, "Who is he? And where is he who would dare presume in his heart to do such thing?" And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." Remember, there's three people at the table. Queen Esther, her husband the king, and Haman. It's kind of like Jesus, when they're like, he was having the Last Supper with his disciples in the upper room, and they're like, "Oh, who would betray you? Who would betray you?" It's like, one who dips his bread in this right here, right? He is in this room. It's one of you 12. And here Queen Esther drops this bomb. She's like, he's in this room, and he is right there. And notice the words, the adversary and the enemy. Who is your adversary and who is your enemy? It's not a person. You may be thinking, you may go with the easy answer, it's the devil. Or you may be going, I want you to think about someone in your life who's an adversary, who you consider the enemy. Is it an in-law? Is it someone at work you're competing to get a promotion with? Is it someone you're competing to buy a business against? Is it someone down the street or someone your kids go to school with or someone you play tennis with and you just can't beat them? They're talking, they're better than you at everything. They have more money. They're better looking. They're more athletic, whatever. They talk about you behind your back. What is this person? Who do you just need to forget about and essentially put to death? Not literally putting to death. I mean, figuratively saying, you know what? I need to let them not live in my head rent-free, so I'm not going to let them be my enemy and adversary anymore. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to move on, and that person is just no longer going to control my thought life. They're not going to have an impact on my mindset, right? Because a lot of us have that person. Think about who that is and just put them out of your mind. Don't let them have that rent space, that, you know, to live rent-free in your brain, because it's affecting you. It's not affecting them. And remember that Jesus is your friend. Satan, the devil, the demons, they are your enemy. They are your enemy, adversaries, right? Our battle is not against flesh and bones. It's against principalities, rulers and principalities, right? There's this whole spiritual warfare going around us that we can't see. But there's literally demons and angels all around you. You don't want to get caught up in this, oh, trying to figure it out, spirit world and get into anything weird. I'm just saying it's a fact that there are spirits, demons, and angels around you. And you can't see it, but it's happening. But what you want to understand is that the devil, the enemy, has come to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Choose Jesus, not the enemy. And if you're not choosing Jesus, then you have chosen the enemy. Walk away from the enemy and walk into Jesus' arms. That's why he died on the cross with his arms spread wide open. So don't let that person live rent-free in your head, right? Just get rid of them. Done. Not physically. You're not doing anything to physically to that person. You're making a mental decision, which is hard. And you're saying, I'm not going to let that person affect my thought life and my mindset anymore. Verse 7. Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther, pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, will he also assault the queen while I am in the house? So the king stepped out for a minute, stepped in the courtyard. He's probably thinking 30 things. He's like, man, I screwed up again. I screwed up when I was drunk with Queen Vashti. I screwed up when I was drunk to give this decree. Now I've got to make a decision. And one of the guys who I promoted, it's going to look really bad to me. It's going to look bad to the kingdom. And what am I going to do, right? He's probably like a lot of us who look back on these decisions. I do it and say, why did I make that decision? I can't believe that I made that decision. But you know what? What God always reminds me of, he says, Mike, don't focus on that decision, because that's where the enemy wants you to be. He wants you to be focused on the past so that you'll live with regret and guilt and be sad about decisions you made in the past. Because if he can render you sad about the past, then he can render you useless for witnessing for Jesus today. Do you get that? So what God comes in my headspace and says, he says, get the devil out of your headspace, which is what we were talking about a minute ago. Get the devil and other people who are negative influences in your life, who steal your joy, get them out of your headspace. Not physically. Maybe you separate yourself from them physically. You're not going to hurt them. You're not going to get revenge, right? God says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God says, pray for your enemies. You're not trying to hurt this person or anything. You just don't want to have them living in your headspace. So you've got to make a decision. I'm going to stay away from them physically if that's possible. I'm going to certainly separate myself mentally. And if that thought pops in my mind, where they're in my headspace, I'm going to ask God to say, Lord, you want me to live for today, not to focus on this other person, not to focus on the past, not to focus on a bad decision that I've made, but today. Because if I can be joyful today, then I can witness for Jesus. And if I'm not joyful today, then I'm not going to be an effective witness for Jesus, period. So the king comes back into the room, and Haman was over there saying, please, please don't do this. Tell him I'm a good guy. Tell him about my good deeds, right? And this is going to be like people who don't know Jesus when they die. They're going to be like, please, God, I walked this old lady across the street. I gave $23 to this charity one time. I was a nice guy. I cursed no less than 10 times a day. I didn't look at porn that often. I didn't get drunk and get in fights that often. And I didn't hurt people with my words that often. I'm a really good person, right? But you don't, that's not going to work. You either know Jesus, you made him your Lord and your Savior, or you didn't, period. And the king comes back in. Haman's pleading for his life. He either passed out because he's so scared, or can't breathe because he's hyperventilating because he's talking so fast to have her save his life, or he's just like throwing himself on her because he's just like, please, like you'd see in a movie, someone on their knees and they're reaching up with their hands to the person, grabbing their hands or, you know, their hips or something, like, please just save me. And the king's, that's just the final straw for him. Maybe he came back in and was like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with Haman. And he saw him over there. And he's probably like, hey, he's trying to assault physically or sexually my wife. He's done. So it says, as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Why'd they do that? Well, the king doesn't want to look him in the eyes if he's about to die. Verse 9. Now, Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look, the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. So, Haman had this huge plot to get even with this guy Mordecai. He let this guy steal his headspace, and it led to him convincing the king to have a decree to kill all the Jewish people. The king was drunk and agreed to it. Now the king's wife comes to him and says the problem, and the king's like, oh, I screwed up. And so, the very device that Haman had constructed to kill Mordecai, one of the Jews, is now being used for the king to actually kill him, Haman, the one who had it constructed. Let's think about a couple concepts around this. Genesis 50:20 says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it out as it is this day, to save many people alive. You see, we look around and we see these things and we see that people are working evil things, but God means it for good. It's hard to understand, but we just have to trust that. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. Right? It's another thing that God is in control. That doesn't mean we're going to get what we want during our lifetime. And notice I said what we want. Right? God's plan is different than ours. His ways are higher. Everything about him is different, better, and more infinite than us. Even God even used Hitler's violence, right? Hitler killed, what, 6 million Jewish people, something like that? But that caused worldwide, global, collaborative support, not every person, but on the whole, support for the Jewish people. And that is how the nation of Israel came back into existence in 1948. So people look at that and they say, oh, that's awful. Yes, it was awful. But God worked using that evil person and that whole thing to bring about his good work later to bring Israel back into existence. That doesn't downplay the violence and the nastiness of what Hitler did. It's saying that God will work through anything. And if someone gets in and starts stirring the pot, God knows what's going on and he's gonna work through it. And think about Satan. He thought he won with Jesus dying on the cross, but that was all part of God's great plan of redemption, right? One of the biggest takeaways we can think about is just knowing that God is in control. He is in control. Let him drive. And don't let someone have headspace. Don't let someone steal your joy. You won't be able to witness. Get rid of that person. Separate yourself from them physically. Don't go near them if you can avoid that. Don't contact them. Don't be Facebook friends if that person's stealing your joy, whatever. And certainly don't let them have that headspace. And if they ever get in your head, then just ask Jesus, Lord, help me to live in the moment, not to focus on that person, not to focus on a past decision that I made, but to just live in the moment so that I can be effective for you, Lord. Lord, help us to live in the moment. Help us to think about things that are lovely and pure and great. Help us to think of things about you, Lord. It's in your amazing name we ask all this. Amen. This podcast brought to you in part by the Portfolio Protection Store, where smart investors go to protect their life savings from stock market losses. Visit our website to register for our webinar, theportfolioprotectionstore.com. The webinar is about portfolio protection and safe money ideas for ages 50 plus. Visit theportfolioprotectionstore.com. Located in Austin, Texas, license number 288-7886.